First, let's take a look at our headlines for this hour.
Cuba-EU Joint Council meets in Havana.
Cuban trade union leader denounces U.S. blockade at meeting in London.
Thousands in Bahamas flee Hurricane Dorian's devastation.
Brazilian Archbishop condemn Amazon fires.
And now the news in detail.
The second European Union-Cuba Joint Council, chaired by Cuba's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Bruno Rodriguez, and the High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy of the European Union, Federica Mogherini, is meeting Monday in Havana. The gathering reviews the implementation of the Political Dialogue and Cooperation Agreement, the ADPC, adopted in December 2016 in Brussels. The agreement relaunched relations between Cuba and the European Union, scrapping the so-called common position, which since its adoption in 1996 was firmly rejected by the Caribbean island due to its interfering, selective, and discriminatory character. Earlier on Monday, Foreign Minister Rodriguez wrote on Twitter that the second joint council contributes to boosting positive existing links.
Ulises Guilherme de Nascimento, Secretary General of the Cuban Trade Union Federation, CTC, denounced on Sunday the growing U.S. hostility against Cuba at the opening of the annual conference of the Trade Union Congress, TUC, convened in Brighton, United Kingdom. The blockade provokes hardships to my people. It does not allow them to acquire basic supplies, medicines, and raw materials from U.S. companies, with a heavy impact on industries. It is a main obstacle to our development programs, limiting access to sources of financing and foreign investment, the trade union leader said. Guilherme noted that the recent prohibition of cruise ships from making port calls in Cuba has had a severe impact on the self-employed workers in the activities of cafeterias and restaurants, hostels and houses, and for those who provide taxi services. The CTC leader thanked the contribution of the TUC, the British unions, and the campaign of solidarity with Cuba, and ratified the political will of the CTC to continue expanding and strengthening the relations of exchange, cooperation, and solidarity between the two trade union centers and their respective unions.
Thousands of people fled devastation in the Bahamas over the weekend as conditions grew increasingly desperate nearly a week after Hurricane Dorian made landfall, reducing many homes to rubble and knocking out water and power. Aid groups rushed emergency help to the storm-ravaged islands, and officials warned an official death toll of 43 was likely to spike much higher as the number of missing amongst the archipelago's nation's 400,000 residents becomes clear. Even as the aid ships and aircraft headed in, residents abandoned hard-hit Great Abaco Island to seek safety and food in the capital, Nassau, and others headed to Florida for shelter, supplies, and perhaps jobs. Some 90% of homes, buildings, and infrastructure in Marsh Harbor of Great Abaco, where Dorian rampaged for almost two full days as one of the strongest Caribbean hurricanes on record, were damaged, this according to World Food Program. A cruise ship with more than 1,000 evacuees arrived in South Florida on Saturday. Some had small children or aging relatives whom they hoped to find safe lodgings for before returning to try to repair or rebuild their island homes.
In Brazil, Roman Catholic leaders are condemning a massive series of fires raging in the Amazon, adding to pressure against far-right President Jair Bolsonaro to stop illegal miners, farmers, and ranches from destroying rainforests critical to slowing the climate crisis. Speaking with The Guardian, Archbishop Edwin Krautler called the fires a true apocalypse, while Archbishop Roque Paloski warned of the risk of genocide against indigenous people defending their forests against illegal fires. This comes after President Bolsonaro attacked Michelle Bachelet, the former president of Chile, who now serves as UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, after she warned that Brazil's government is failing to stop widespread police shootings, while environmentalists, indigenous people, and human rights defenders are increasingly murdered with impunity. Bolsonaro taunted Bachelet over the 1973 US-backed coup in Chile, which saw Augusto Pinochet toppled the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende. President Jair Bolsonaro said, Mrs. Michelle Bachelet, if the people led the Pinochet had not defeated the left in 1973, including your father, today Chile would look like Cuba.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. Now let's go back over to our news. Here's Gerwin Jones.
Russia has called on the international community to make the necessary efforts to prevent the derailment of the peace process in Colombia, where a dissident sector of the demobilized insurgency of the FARC, the FARC, rearmed itself. Quote, we call on the international community to contribute to the continuation of the peace process for the prosperity of Colombia's population and regional stability, and within Colombia itself, said the Russian Foreign Ministry in a statement. The Foreign Ministry warned of the risk that an armed confrontation in the South American nation resurfacing with, quote, unpredictable consequences for the Latin American region is latent. Russia said it supported the joint declaration of the guarantor countries of the Colombian peace process, Cuba and Norway, in which both nations demanded strict compliance with the final peace agreement signed in November 2016 by the government of Bogota and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, FARC, now turned into a political party.
A march for human rights commemorating the victims of the military dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, held every September, ended on Sunday with brutal police repression and riots in Santiago de Chile. Demonstrators gathered on Sunday morning to march to the capital's General Cemetery as part of a peace march called by the Chilean Coordination of Human Rights Organization to mark the 46th anniversary of the fascist military coup d'etat and to hold a memorial to the disappeared and victims of Pinochet's regime. We have spent our lives seeking justice. Please tell us where are the disappeared political prisoners, said demonstrators, stressing that one of their principal aims of the annual march is to prevent the repetition of human rights violation in the South American country. Waving banners with photographs of the disappeared, thousands of demonstrators shouted slogans asking, where are they? We won't forget, we demand justice, and yesterday's impunity is at the root of today's injustices. The mobilization, accompanied by a police contingent, went on peacefully until the security forces began to repress the protesters using tear gas and arresting people.
Emails obtained by the Financial Times have revealed that the U.S. government officials were contacting the captain of an Iranian tanker, offering millions of dollars if the captain steered the ship towards an allied country that would impound on behalf of the United States, but threatening sanctions if the captain refused. It was the same ship that was eventually seized by the UK in Gibraltar and subsequently released after it was clear there were no legal grounds for the seizure. The email was published by the Financial Times, intended for Iranian ship captain Akhilesh Kumar and a number of other captains. It offered personal payments if the captain sabotaged the ship's course, but threatened sanctions on those who don't. It reads, this is Brian Hook. I work for Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and serve as the U.S. representative for Iran. I'm writing with good news. The message continues, with this money, you can have any life you wish and be well off in old age. If you choose not to take this easy path, life will be much harder. Harder for you. The official State Department's phone number is included on the email to reassure the captain of the authenticity. Iran's foreign ministry responded saying, having failed at piracy, the U.S. resorts to outright blackmail. Deliver us Iran's oil and receive several millions of dollars or be sanctioned.
Israeli authorities have issued a military order to confiscate nearly 25 acres of private Palestinian land in the northern part of the occupied West Bank as the Tel Aviv regime goes ahead with land expropriation and settlement construction policies in violation of international law and UN Security Council resolutions. Ghassan Douglas, a Palestinian Authority official in charge of monitoring Israel's settlement expansion activities, told Palestinian's official WAFA news agency that Israeli officials have handed over orders to people in the villages of Guarayaud and Jalud, located approximately 30 kilometers, 19 miles south of Nablus, notifying them of the decision to seize almost 100 dunams, 24.7 acres, in order to expand nearby Shiloh settlement. More than 600,000 Israelis live in over 230 settlements built since the 1967 Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories of the West Bank and East Jerusalem. The UN Security Council has condemned Israel's settlement activities in the occupied territories in several resolutions.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Cuba-EU Joint Council meets in Havana.
Cuban trade union leader denounces U.S. blockade at meeting in London.
Thousands in Bahamas flee Hurricane Dorian's devastation.
Brazilian Archbishop condemns Amazon fires.